Welcome to the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association's Patients Come First podcast series. Episodes are available on VHHA.com and on popular podcast hosting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, and many others. We're a member of the Public Health Podcast Network, the Virginia Audio Collective, and the Family Podcast Network. Podcast episodes also air each Saturday at noon and Sundays at 10 a.m. on 100.5 FM, 92.7 FM, and 820 a.m. across Central Virginia, 1650 a.m. in Hampton Roads, 105.1 FM, and 1050 a.m. in Lynchburg, and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. on 93.9 FM in Richmond. Please send questions, comments, feedback, or guest suggestions to pcfpodcast@vhha.com. Again, that's pcfpodcast@vhha.com. I'm your host, Will Selden, and today we are excited to be joined by Caitlin Berry, an occupational therapist who works for Sportable, which is a Richmond-based adaptive sports organization. In just a moment, we'll talk more about the mission of Sportable, Caitlin's work as an occupational therapist, and some more. But first, Caitlin, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Will. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, it's our tradition on this podcast to start by just letting our guests share a little bit more about themselves. So we have a little bit of background information. We know you earned degrees from Tech and VCU, Virginia Tech, that is, for our non-local folks. After attending Atlee High School, I believe, in Hanover County, so you're a Richmonder. You've worked with special needs students in public schools and occupational therapy roles with a couple different organizations. And then you got involved with Sportable a little while ago through volunteering and then joined the team there on a full-time basis shortly thereafter. So I know those are just a few of your unique details in your personal story, but what else should people know about you?
So I grew up locally in Hanover County and then came back to Richmond after going to Virginia Tech and getting my undergrad degree in human development. I went to Virginia Commonwealth University, VCU, go Rams, to get my master's in occupational therapy. Entering OT school, I knew I was really passionate about the field, but was really kind of wide open with what specialty or kind of practice area I wanted to go into. I landed in pediatric practice to start, and that's where I spent the first 7 years of my career. During that time, I was volunteering a lot with Sportable. I actually started volunteering with Sportable when I was a student at VCU. So just was involved in the organization in a lot of different capacities, from helping out with different adaptive sport programs like adaptive swimming or power soccer, and then continued to be involved through leadership opportunities like the associate board and assisting with their annual tailgate fundraiser. And then a position opened up at Sportable back in 2021 to lead new wellness programs that they were beginning to offer. I felt like my OT background would be a good fit, and luckily they thought so too. So I've been at Sportable for about 2.5 years, and I'm just really passionate about, it's been really cool to go from like more clinical-based OT work to something that's more at an advocacy and systems level, where I can really advocate for opportunities for people with disabilities to live healthy, vibrant lives and participate in things out in the community, rather than having my impact limited to a therapy clinic.
Healthcare's constant complexities and distractions can make it difficult to focus on medicine. Covaris can help. Covaris offers medical liability insurance, value-based care risk protection, employer stop loss insurance, and so much more. You can count on Covaris for protection and services that help you stay free to focus on improving clinical, operational, and financial outcomes. Find out all that Covaris can offer you at Covaris.com. That's Coverys.com. Insurance products issued by Medical Professional Mutual Insurance Company and its insurance subsidiaries.
Well, with a little bit of that background, you shared some information about Sportable, but I wonder if you could just expand on that a little bit. Obviously, it's an adaptive sports organization, been around since 2005, I believe. It supports hundreds of athletes each year, ranging from basketball, soccer, rugby, lacrosse, all those different things that you mentioned. If you would, just tell us a little bit more about the mission and some of the different types of programming that Sportable offers.
So Sportable was founded right here in Richmond in 2005, and we continue to serve just the Central Virginia area. We are the only Sportable. There's other adaptive sport organizations spread throughout the country like Sportable, but we are the only Sportable. So back in 2005, a rec therapy student at VCU had the idea for Sportable and made it happen. Since that time, we have grown a lot. We provide adaptive sports, recreation, and wellness activities for people with physical disabilities or visual impairments. That includes both youth and adults. A lot of our athletes, you'll hear me use the word athletes, participants, members kind of interchangeably, but they have disabilities like cerebral palsy, stroke, spinal cord injuries and disorders like spina bifida as well, amputations, blindness, visual impairments, muscular dystrophies. All of our sports and programs are physically adapted. to just help people participate at the highest level they can. So we have more than 16 different adaptive sport and recreation programs. And like I mentioned, I lead a lot of our wellness activities, like ongoing mindfulness groups, exercise and fitness classes, and a lot of different opportunities that just help anybody with a physical disability get active and feel part of a community.
That's really cool. And I guess now for our listeners, this is probably a good time to mention, Caitlin and I actually met a couple months ago when I got involved with Sportable. So I can personally attest that the work they do is fantastic. It's such a cool organization. So definitely encourage our listeners to look into it more. I want to shift gears here a little bit and talk about some of your background in occupational therapy. Many of our podcast guests are clinicians, and we often ask about their professional journey. So if you would, tell us a little bit about the work of occupational therapists, what attracted you to the profession in the beginning, and then some of the training required to get you there.
Yeah, so occupational therapists are often thought to be therapists that help with your job or occupation. But actually in our field, the word occupation, that term, means anything meaningful that you do throughout your day and throughout your life. So in occupational therapy practice, occupations include getting dressed, brushing your teeth, cooking, driving, participating in leisure activities that are important to you. So occupational therapists are really about the work of helping people participate in the things that add value and meaning to their life. Depending on which field of practice, so for children, for instance, their primary occupation is play. So you'll see a lot of OTs working through play to develop really important developmental skills like fine motor skills and sensory processing and regulation. And when working with adults, especially in rehabilitation settings, OTs are often maybe working with a wheelchair user to figure out how they're going to transfer in and out of their car, or how they're going to get dressed now, or how they're going to cook. So we're really about building skills as well as coming up with different adaptations to help people do the things that are important to them. So I love the field of OT. I love just this idea of like helping people engage in their life and facilitating and empowering people to do the things that they enjoy. Again, I was in pediatrics before, so I loved working with kids. I got to play all day. I couldn't believe it was my job in a way, but really was excited at this opportunity to impact at like a more community level. What I was noticing working with youth with disabilities in my previous job is the impact that I can make in the clinic, while important, was not as big as the impact that could be found when people were participating out in the community. One young boy I was working with who I'd seen for a while, he had hemiplegic CP, so weakness on one side of his body, and we were working on some different things in the clinic, but he was kind of getting to a place that he was pretty independent, and we were kind of figuring out what's next. He started to engage with Sportable and a soccer program we have called CP Soccer, and I happened to come out and volunteer with that program too, and I was able to see just how much more holistically he was able to develop skills in that like natural environment of just engaging in soccer with peers. He let me know that that was the first time he had ever met another child that had the same disability as him and wore an AFO on one leg. It was also a chance where he met an adult who had a similar disability to him and saw that that adult was married, had a job, was driving, like just could see what was possible. So it really helped develop his confidence, his hope, his esteem, his disability acceptance, as well as worked on those coordination and balance and mobility and strength skills that we were trying to focus on in the clinic, but through like an occupation where he was participating much more kind of normally with his peers, right? And so I just saw so much power in that and really wanted to be kind of a part of driving that working at Sportable. So these days at Sportable, one of the things I kind of bring my OT brain to beyond just the leading of wellness programs and different wellness groups is I also talk to all of our new athletes. So anybody interested in our programs, I follow up with a phone call, talk to them about their skills and abilities, and then match them up using my like OT brain of like, okay, this is what their goals are. This is what their mobility is like. Here's the just right fit for them to get started and get active with us. And then I help guide them along in their journey with what they can try next related to their goals and what makes sense for them.
That's super cool. And it's clear the value that someone with your background and skill set provides to an organization like Sportable. I want to sort of drill down on that a little bit. This is a perfect transition to this next topic. A conversation that you and I had a couple of weeks ago really struck me when you spoke about some of those impacts that you were just talking about with Sportable, or that Sportable programs have on athletes. So from a clinical perspective, I wonder if you could talk about, and you mentioned that, you know, the clinical setting is really important and it helps folks progress as well. But I wonder if you could talk about some of the distinct benefits that Sportable programs provide that may be slightly different from traditional therapies. And obviously you have experience in both sort of arenas. So I wonder if you could just sort of linger on that a little bit and talk about some of the distinctions there.
Yeah. So another kind of hat I wear, Sportable is a nonprofit, so all of us are doing a little bit of a lot of different things, is I do help lead our different assessments and things to track athlete progress over time. And so we do see things like improved mobility and strength and better sleep and all these other health indicators. But I would say the most transformation happens in this connection to a peer community. We have to remember that a lot of times people with a disability, even if they have social supports like close family relationships and friends, they can often feel isolated in their experience. They might be the only person that they know who used a wheelchair, or the only person that they know who's had a stroke, or maybe they met someone in rehab a while back, but they didn't stay connected. So at our programs, they're coming out and everyone just kind of gets it. Like if you can reflect personally on any time in your life, my personal hobby is running, and being around other runners, I just love the normalcy of like, we're like, yeah, we're all crazy. We're all training for this marathon. We just get it. You know, there's like an unspokenness to it. And that's what we see in our programs too. One story I did want to share is about athletes in our wheelchair rugby program. So the sport of wheelchair rugby was actually invented for people with tetraplegia or quadriplegia, or impairment in at least 3 out of 4 limbs. So sometimes that's high level spinal cord injury. Sometimes that's quadruple amputees, things like that. It used to be called murder ball. It's a highly aggressive, high contact sport, really competitive. But through that program, often people are connected to peers and are able to learn life skills from those peers. There's a great story about a 20-some-year-old young man that joined our wheelchair rugby program. That is one of our teams that travels to compete in different regional tournaments around the Mid-Atlantic region. And he was bringing his mom with him in order to help with his bowel and bladder routine because he wasn't independent in that yet. So his rugby teammates were like, what do you mean you need to bring your mom? I think we can figure this out. So lovingly, they locked him in a bathroom after telling him, hey, here's the cast supplies I use. Here's how I do it. Here's how I figure it out. And they locked him in a bathroom with all the supplies. And lo and behold, he figured it out and then became independent in that self-care task and was able to travel independently without needing his mom to be present for his bowel and bladder routine. As a therapist, like that is just so meaningful on a variety of levels, from just like the peer support, the disability acceptance, as well as like promoting that independence. It's just really, really important, really transformational.
Yeah. And it sounds like he only got that experience because he was in a program like the ones at Sportable offer, where, like you said, there's that sort of peer-to-peer connection. And that's really unique. So that's fantastic.
I'll mention there too, as therapists, we often learn some of our best like tricks and hacks for different adaptations and ways of doing things from our patients, from our clients. And we'll pass those stories along or tips along from patient to patient. But sometimes when you can connect the patients directly with that peer support, it's really important. I'm thinking of another story of a woman who is a recent below knee amputee. She was really having some trouble with the way she was doing her shower transfer, which was the way that she was trained to do it in rehabilitation, but it actually led to a fall. And she was like, this just isn't working for me. I think I need a shower prosthetic. I got to figure something else out. And she talked to another amputee and he's like, oh, actually, this is how I do it. And she started doing it that way. And now she's much safer in her shower transfer just from what she learned from a fellow amputee. So therapists know we have so much expertise, but nothing really replaces that lived experience of somebody with a disability who's figuring out ways of doing things every day and can share what they've learned with their peers just to help one another. There's so much empowerment in this community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, our listeners can tell based on what you've shared. I can attest Sportable is a fantastic organization. Y'all do fantastic work for people all across Virginia and the surrounding areas. So if you're interested in learning more about how to get involved with the work they do, we certainly encourage everyone to do that by visiting sportable.org. That's sportable.org. Caitlin, before we let you go, we have a fun tradition on the show to ask our guests a pair of sort of fun, silly questions just to close things out. So to keep our guests guessing, we have a list of 10 mystery questions that we'll draw from. So if you'll please select 2 numbers between 1 and 10, I'll read you those corresponding questions to close this out.
Let's go with 7 and 8.
Okay, 7 and 8. Number 7, if you could choose one superpower to have or any one skill to instantly master, what would it be and why? And I want to provide a little context on this. So the superpower question is obviously a timeless classic, but I wanted to throw a little twist in there with the any one skill to instantly master, because a lot of folks would say, like, it's not a superpower, but like, I've always wanted to learn how to play the piano or something like that. So if you want to go that direction too, you can.
No, I think I'm going with superpower flying.
That's what
something
I always
about that
say too.
Just sounds wonderful. I love being outside in nature. I think there's, of course, we know there's healing benefits of being outdoors. It's my happy place. And just this idea of being able to fly and get to all these beautiful outdoor locations quickly and see them from that vantage point anytime I want just sounds lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Better than playing the piano, some might say. But that's, yeah. I guess, to each their own, to each their own. Okay. And number eight, you've shared a couple of these already, but tell me one memory from your life that whenever you think of it, it makes you smile.
Ooh. Got to think about that one for a moment.
Yeah, that's fine. Take your time.
I think I'll share the memory of the first time that I ran a marathon. So I'm very involved with the Richmond running community personally, and had trained with the local marathon training team, met new friends through it, finished a marathon. And I'm a believer in just kind of reflecting back on the small choices you make. Running a marathon may not seem like a small choice, but just the small choices you make of saying yes to something that really has the power to transform your life. And personally for me, I've just seen so many benefits from the way I've been able to be physically active through marathon running and how it's changed my life through the new social connections and friendships I have through it. So I look back and just think of that version of me that like was so intimidated by this distance and couldn't believe I was going to try this, and feels really proud that like I made that leap to try it, and just how that challenged me and has led to so much beauty in my life.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, those are two fantastic answers. And with that, we have come to the close of another episode of the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association's Patients Come First podcast. If you liked what you heard, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. I want to once again thank our guest, Caitlin Berry, for joining us today. So Caitlin, thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Will.